well-known verses in the Gospel. John chapter 14, please. We will read together. 14, please. And verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Now I really want to major in verse 6, please. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, may God add his blessing to the reading of such holy scripture this evening. I want you simply to look at verse number 6 here, really, but I just thought there was a wee encouragement as we look at verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
Maybe you're here with a broken heart tonight. Maybe you're troubled about many things. I hope you're troubled about eternal things. Maybe you've never settled the sin question. Maybe you don't know God tonight. Maybe you're not in fellowship with God. Maybe you've never trusted his Son. Well, look what John is saying here. Let not your heart be troubled. My dear friend, if you're troubled about eternal matters, we want you really to think of the essential belief in the Son. Look what he says. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. He says, believe also in me. Now, as I go around the doors nearly every day, people will tell me incessantly, Mister, I believe in God. And I believe them, so they do. But when I mention the Lord Jesus, they don't seem to know anything about him. I wonder if you know him. I wonder if he's your Savior tonight. I wonder, my dear friend, if you're sitting here and maybe from Sunday school days, you've known that you needed a Savior. And yet, you've never really put your faith and trust in him. Oh, my friend, listen, here's the essential belief in the Son. Not only must you believe in God, but look what he says in this verse, believe also in me. Well, I want you to consider the Son tonight. I want you to consider the way to heaven tonight. I want you to consider your soul's eternal welfare tonight. But look at verse number 2 and 3. Look what he says here. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. My dear friend, he went via Calvary. He suffered and bled and died. Not for sins his own, because he didn't have any, but for your sin and for my sin. He went there. And because of that, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, and I want you to grasp this, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I want you to notice what he didn't say. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I come again. Oh, there's no doubt about this. This is definite, dear friend. I want you to understand, if I go and prepare a place for you, just as surely as he's gone, he's coming back again. I wonder today, tonight, is he coming for you? I wonder if you've made preparation for his coming. Are you ready to meet God? Are you and your sin's penal consequences separated? Have you got rid of your sin? Or are you not ready to meet God? He's left us that promise. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. But there's a promise he's yet to fulfill. And it's this promise. If I go away, I will come again. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't know the Savior, You have never made preparation for His coming. You want to thank God tonight for the air that you're breathing. You want to thank God tonight for the mental ability that you have to understand that your sin will eternally separate you from a just and a holy God. My dear friend, you mustn't die in your sin. You need to get rid of that sin tonight. Why? Because it cost God everything. Cost Him the darling of His bosom to go willingly all the way to Calvary to suffer, to bleed, and to die. We often quote John 3:16, "For God so loved Fife." That would have been good. It wouldn't have been good enough. Dunbartonshire, that would have been great, but it wouldn't have been great enough. But I'm happy to tell you this, for God so loved the world. Are you in that world? The night that I get saved in Helensburgh, that was the very verse the preacher quoted. He says, "For God so loved the world." Do you know, the penny dropped with me that night. I realized I was in the world and God loved me. Now, I don't know what you've practiced. I don't know the kind of person you are. I don't know how you live. But I want you to understand, you might go out there unsaved. You will never ever go out that door unloved. I want you to understand that the great sovereign God of the universe tonight, you see, this isn't a meeting, a message that's got up. This is a message that's come down, come down, come down from the very annals of heaven. Romans 1, it's the gospel of God. My dear friend, that's the very source of it. That's the heart of it. It's the gospel. It's the good news from God. God loves you, friend, but He hates your sin. And you really need to deal with the sin question tonight. And so I thought in verse 2 and 3 here, we have here the preparation made and the coming of the Son. He has gone away. He's not in the tomb. Our leader's not in the tomb. We can't take you to the tomb and say, "Here's our leader." Oh no, my friend. Our leader's in heaven. He sat down at God's right hand. And He's left us a promise that He's going to come back for those who have trusted in Him. Now tell me now, are you ready to go? Are you ready to go, friend? Are your sins gone? Are you really ready to meet Him? Well, come to our verse now just very quickly. Look at verse number 6. Three things I want you to see here. Thomas saith unto him. You see, people have stopped. Peter stopped. Thomas stopped. Judas, not Iscariot, he stopped and asked him a question. Had Peter never stopped him, we might never have had the beautiful truth of the Father's house. How beautifully does he answer Peter and give us that truth relative to the Father's house. You see, he has a house in preparation for you. My friend, you need to make preparation for it. Have you made that preparation? Are your sins gone? Because nothing that defileth will ever enter into God's fair heaven. So, he's answering Thomas now. He's saying to Thomas, Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Tell me, do you know the way to heaven? I know the way to inner leaven. Would you believe it? I never get lost tonight. Isn't that great? My wife thinks I can get lost in Livingston because there's so many roundabouts and what have you, and I can get lost in Glasgow now. I used to know it like the back of my hand. Don't know it now. You're under underpasses and flyovers and you're going the wrong way. But my friend, listen, do you know the way to heaven? I want you to understand there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There's a door that is open that you can come in. Calvary's cross is where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. Have you ever done that, friend? Have you ever come to the Saviour? Well, look at my verse with me. Three things I want to list out here, if I may, in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way." I'm saying to you tonight, don't be diverted another way. I tell you, that's very simple, isn't it? I am the way. He's the only way to the Father. I want you to capture that tonight. You see, that necessitates new birth. For you to become His child. You see, my friend, God wants to be your Father, and heaven wants to be your home. That is the greatest experience that you could ever have. Tell me, has God your Father tonight? Is heaven going to be your home? So, point number 1 tonight is this. Don't be diverted another way. And then he says this, I am the truth. We are saying to you tonight, don't be deceived by error. Oh yes, we're in a world of a multiplicity of religions. No wonder people don't know where to turn. Ah, we want them to turn to the Savior. We want you to turn to the Savior, because there's only one Savior that was ever on this planet. He's my Savior. Is he your Savior? Well, I want to say to you tonight, here it is, he's the truth. Don't be deceived by error. He's the revelation of the Father. He really is. And because of that, you need to realize that there's a truth that you must receive tonight relative to your soul's eternal welfare. And then finally, my dear friend, look at this. I am the way. He's the only way to the Father. I am the truth. He's the revelation of the Father. I am the life. And he is saying to you tonight, don't be disillusioned by things. Don't be disillusioned by things. My friend, listen, he's the life. He's that eternal life that was with the Father. I'm the possessor tonight of eternal life. Every New Testament Christian is the possessor of eternal life, whether you're a week saved or whether you're 100 years saved. I want to say to you, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, I tell you, my friend, you're the possessor of eternal life. You will be in heaven. Where are you tonight? Have you got a Savior? My dear friend, what about it tonight? Look what he says. I am the life. We are living in a world tonight, and men are spending a fortune at the bookies, and the boozers, and the bingo, and the lottery. They're spending a fortune looking for life, and it seems to evade them. There's no joy, and there's no peace. They go about with a face like least what, and maybe even longer. And my dear friend, there's no happiness, no joy, no radiance of Christ. Where are you today? Have you found the Savior? Are you ready to meet God? Are your sins really forgiven this evening? Look at my first point very quickly. Don't be diverted another way. Oh, there are many diversions, and there are many dangers in the world. My dear friend, not even the sat-nav can take you the right way. How often have we read that men have ended up in water because the sat-nav took them the wrong way? My dear friend, listen, what about it? The way to the Father. You'll notice that in verse number 6. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. You see, God wants to be your Father. We're not Jehovah Witnesses. They've missed the bus. They've missed the dispensation. This is the wonderful age of grace. The amazing grace of God for his church. And because of that, my dear friend, you need to find your way back to God. We believe what the Bible teaches tonight. Galatians 3:22. The scriptures have concluded that all are under sin. You see, right from Adam, we have joined the polluted stream. We can't help that. That's where we are before God, and we really need to get back to God. So don't be diverted another way. My dear friend, listen, people will tell you many ways to heaven. There's only one way. I want to tell you, that's the man that gave his life. That's the man that went to Calvary. That's the one we were singing about in these lovely hymns tonight. My dear friend, Calvary, only mentioned once in the Bible. Only once will he ever go there. He'll never go there again. He'll never pay the ransom price in precious blood. Why? Because God is well pleased with the death of his Son. Tell me, why are you not well pleased with the death of his Son? What are you trusting on for the great eternity? What is the basis of your trust? You're not too young to be saved, you know, and you're not too old. But I have to say this to you, you could be far too late. God has given you another evening. What if he doesn't give you another one? A dear man got saved last Saturday. And I had the privilege of leading that man to the Savior, but it was really through the testimony of a young man from Galston, a converted Roman Catholic. He was a druggie. His life was almost taken from him. I wasn't there to hear this, but everybody that heard it told me. What a testimony. They had never heard anything like it. And this man, Bill Martin, came from Blair Hall, went to school with dear Sam Rowan, that's now in heaven. Went to school with him. many years ago knew about the gospel. And my dear friend, here he is, 70 years of age. For 2 years, he's been coming to our meeting. And he never found the way to the Savior. He'd always been diverted another way. And the devil saw to it that he was diverted another way. And the devil will see to it, friend, you'll believe anything but the right thing. And you need to get right with God. You need to get rid of that sin, because our God is a high and holy God that inhabited eternity, and nothing that defileth will ever enter into God's fair heaven. My dear friend, what am I saying to you today? There are many diversions, there are many dangers. Says Peter, Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, and Peter says this, you're on a one-way street. My friend, Peter's saying to you tonight, you're on a one-way street. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. I went to see dear Bill Martin on Saturday. I said, am I glad you've come here? Oh, I said, what's wrong with you then? He said, how do I get saved? I said, what's brought this on? For 6 months he was half an inch away from heaven. That's what he told us. Every time we went in to see him, where are you now, Bill? I'm just half an inch away from heaven. Half an inch for the last 6 months. I said to him on Saturday, where are you now? He says, I want Christ. He says, that young man that gave his testimony got to me, he says. And he says, I said, well, why didn't you phone me? I knew he would never get saved in the hall. Far too shy he was. Didn't want any fuss. He says, look, how do I get right with God? He lived 70 years without a Savior. Tell me, how long have you been living without him? I want to say, my friend, you mustn't die without a Savior. I tell you, there's no purgatory taught in the Bible. Three times we're taught it's up on earth that sins are really forgiven. Are your sins forgiven? I want to tell you, God loves you. Oh, we pleaded, Martin Hunter and myself, we have pleaded for 2 years with Bill Martin. Pleaded for 2 years with that man. Half an inch away from heaven. Tell me, where are you tonight? Are you half an inch away from heaven? I tell you, there's a man walking down the streets of Fraser, but I don't know if I've told you before. A dear man who worked on the North Sea oil platforms, Stephen Massey from the Peterhead Assembly. I want to tell you, he was 2 years, 2 weeks on and 2 weeks off, walking down the street in Fraserburgh a few years ago, beautiful spring afternoon, sun was out, with his wife and two of the children, happy as a fanboy. There he was, away from the turbulent sea, and there he was walking up the street when a slate fell off the roof and hit him right in the middle of his head. I tell you, he woke up in Aberdeen Royal Infirmary, and the very man that was looking after him was a surgeon whom he knew very well. David, he said, what am I doing here? Why am I here? He says, listen, Stephen, I want to tell you, you were half an inch away from heaven. What do you mean, he says? Half an inch away from heaven. Another half inch over in your head, and you would have been in heaven. Tell me, if that had been you, where would you be? Are you diverted another way? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Tell me, my friend, are you saved? Are you delivered? Are you rescued from the penal consequences of your sin? Well, I want to tell you, after 40 minutes I read verses with Bill. He says, look, how do I get it? He says, I want it now, he said. And I'm happy to tell you that he got it 70 years of age. 70 years of age, he trusted Christ. He was out this morning rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven. He was out last night at our ministry meeting and just drinking in the Word. He's reading his Bible and he's interested in God's interest. Tell me, is God your Father tonight? Or are you just doing your little bit of religion for today? Are your sins gone? Are you still being diverted another way? For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. My friend, he wants to bring you to God. He wants to make you his child. Are your sins gone? Where are they tonight? Have you really got your sins forgiven? Point number one, my friend, don't be diverted another way. He's the only way to the Father tonight. What about my second point, just very quickly now? Look what he says here. I am the way. Don't be diverted another way. I am the truth. Don't be deceived by error. You see, my friend, the devil will do his best to take you another way. Says 2 John chapter verse 7 of 2 John says this. He says it beautifully. For many deceivers have entered out into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. You see, out in that world tonight, they're anti-Christ. They're anti-God. I want to tell you, the devil will do anything to dupe you and to take you where he is going. My friend, his days are numbered. He's going to be cast into the abyss. I tell you, I'm glad I changed from Adam to Christ. The way we came into the world, we're under Adam. But my friend, you need to be delivered from the authority of darkness. You need to be translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Tell me, are you translated? Have you changed? Has there been a change of direction? Has there been a change of destiny? Are you ready for heaven? Are your sins really gone? My dear friend, don't be deceived by Satan. He's the God of this age. He's blinding the minds of those who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. 70 years he deceived William. 70 years he deceived them. Thank God, he's now made preparation. He's ready for heaven. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to your troubled soul. He's the answer nationally and internationally to our world's ills. He is the answer. There will be peace in a day to come when the Prince of Peace comes. But now, my friend, he's made peace by the blood of his cross, and that peace can arbitrate in your soul. Is there no peace in your life? Is there no joy? Is there no prospect of heaven? My friend, are you going to bypass the Son of God and go another way? Are you going to be deceived by error? Oh, I tell you, he's the God of this age. 2 Corinthians 4:4. My friend, he's blinding the minds of those that believe not, lest that light should shine in unto your darkened heart. You see, you're as black as the ace of spades. I want to tell you, when I got to Christ, oh, I tell you, my friend, I thank God that he saved me at 18. I wish he'd saved me at 8. I wouldn't have tasted half of what I did. And I thank God that he saved me at 18 years of age. My sins are gone. I'm ready for heaven. My friend, I haven't been diverted another way anymore. I haven't been deceived another minute by Satan. Don't allow him to deceive you. He'll take you to the pit where he's gone. He'll take you to eternal damnation. My friend, you'll perish in the lake of fire forever if you bypass the Lord Jesus. Don't bypass him. He went into death. He's rifled the strong man's house. He's defeated Satan. He was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And he'll do that. He'll do that at a day to come, my friend. Change masters tonight. Change destinies. Get to Christ about your sins. Start for heaven and start for home. My friend, don't be deceived another minute. Don't allow the devil to do you anymore. But get to Christ. Get the sin question settled and get started for heaven. Are your sins gone? Are you ready to meet him? Are you ready, my friend? Are your sins gone? Are you his child? Are you really born into his family? If you're not, my dear friend, you get to Christ. Just lift your heart. Tell him you're guilty. Dear brother Dan Gillis, myself in Dan's beautiful tent in Pullman many years ago, and that lady from Lineveg, Caroline Thompson, 27 years of age, one of us were preaching, and Caroline Thompson just lifted her heart during the meeting and accepted the Lord Jesus as her very own and personal Saviour. I want to tell you, my dear friend, have you ever done that? Is God your Father? Is heaven going to be your home? Says Peter, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out. If I could do it, I would do it for my youngest son, and I can't. I would love to do it for him, but I can't. He has to do it by himself. My friend, have you ever done that? Or are you still being deceived? But look at my third point, I must finish. Look at this. Look what he says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. My friend, listen. Here it is. Don't be disillusioned by things. We are living in a world that's totally disillusioned. They're spending a fortune looking for life. I tell you, my friend, they're penniless. And they have found no peace and no joy in things. That's why so many opt out. I want to tell you, my dear friend, listen, don't be disillusioned by things. Dear brother Jim Smith, whom you know well, I'm sure. Away down in Mansfield in Nottinghamshire, a man who was a millionaire. He had a Volvo franchise. One of the wealthiest men in the area. I'm happy to tell you, Jim had the privilege of leading that man to Christ. That man came to know the Saviour. Do you know what? He gave away all his money, got rid of his garage. He's working in a laundry now, and he's as happy as a fanboy. His sins are gone. He's a child of the Father. He's ready for heaven. My dear friend, why I'm telling you that is this. I know this fellow, but the fellow that he led to Christ, I want to tell you, Philip Rowe. What a transformation of a life. Philip Rowe. I want to tell you, I've wept with him, I've cried with him, I've rejoiced with him. And I tell you, my friend, he's changed masters. He's changed direction. And he's changed destiny. Have you? Still disillusioned with things? Still disillusioned, my friend, by many things tonight? Says John 10 and 10, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. He says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Have you got that life then? Are you still disillusioned with life? Do you wish you were never born? Do you just go from one crisis to another? Maybe you're down more times than you've been up, and maybe you don't know where to turn. Turn to Christ. My friend, get to Christ about your sin. That's really repentance. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out. I want to say to you, I think it was Mr. Cargill of St. Mona's wrote a tract, if you miss Christ, you miss everything. We gave thousands of them out in Livingston. And my friend, I want to say to you tonight, you miss Christ tonight. You miss Christ tonight. You miss everything. I tell you, I want to say he's the Saviour of the world. He's my Saviour. I want to ask you now, is he your Saviour? Have you made preparation for his coming? Are you ready to go? Are your sins gone? Is God your Father? Is heaven going to be your eternal home? Shall we pray?
Our gracious God, we thank thee for this little time together. Bless thy work to every heart in this room tonight. Should it be those who don't know the Saviour, O God, may they never be disillusioned by things, but may they receive the Lord Jesus as their very own tonight, before it's forever and eternally too late, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. I know time's gone, but just to sing a verse together. One of my favourites for closing the meeting is 117. 117. One there is who loves thee, waiting, waiting still for thee. Canst thou yet reject him, none so kind as he? Do not grieve him longer, come and trust him tomorrow. No, no, the hymn writer's got it right. Come and trust him now. He has waited all thy days. Why? Why? Why waitest thou? Just remaining seated. The whole hymn, please. 117.